I see this service as a team rally. And if it hasn't been that so far, you didn't enter in. You missed out if you haven't seen what the Lord has done already in the first part of this service. So I'm very excited about that. You know, when I was in high school, we would have team rallies on a big game day. It would start as early as 12 or even 11 that day. We would just rally. We'd get the students together. It would create excitement. It would create anticipation for the big game. We'd get excited long before the arrival of the visiting team. And so I see this service as a team rally, so that as a community, we would begin to anticipate what the Lord has for us, that we would take this day to focus on really preparing our hearts for what the Lord has for us in 2016. I know it's a good service because I'm almost going hoarse here. Thank the Lord. But I really do. I see this service as a chance for us to align our hearts with what God is doing. God's not going to stop because we're not behind Him. We need to align ourselves with Him. You know, I've grown up in ministries my entire life. I've been able to share briefly about that before. One of my favorite parts about growing up was I was always able to worship with my family. I was able to worship alongside my mom, my dad, Maria, and Terry. Now I have the privilege to worship beside my wife and her family. It's a team effort. You cannot do it on your own. We worship as a team. But you know, one of my proudest accomplishments as a believer growing up is that all of my pets, all of my stuffed animals were saved. Now, I've told you that before, but you didn't believe me, so I just wanted to remind you, pet next door, stuffed animals down the road, they were all saved, or either they are the only ones who would listen to me. But anyway, nevertheless, with that said, I don't come here with the credentials that many who stand here have, but what I do sense is an anticipation. I sense an excitement for this year, an excitement for what the Lord is going to do in our community, what the Lord is going to do into our families, into our friends, and for us individually, the personal growth that's going to come in 2016. You know, when I talk with my younger friends who are also believers, I sense an overwhelming optimism that the body of Messiah is going to start moving faster than ever before because our adversary and our adversity is increasing. And so not only do we need to focus on what He's prepared for us personally, but as a body of Messiah. And I get excited because the Lord is still moving. Lives are being changed. The Lord is turning around lives. And if He hasn't, for someone in particular that you're praying for, continue to pray. The Lord is moving. 2016 could be the year that we activate the Lord's calling for our life. Am I talking to anybody? Does anybody feel the anticipation that I feel the second day of the year? Dear Lord, I pray that Your words would come through me, that Your words would touch all of our hearts. Let it be Your words and not mine. We pray in Yeshua's name. You know, a lot of people sense optimism this time of year. It's New Year's. It's a new calendar year. It's a new Gregorian calendar year. I'm not 3 months late on the Jewish calendar, but it's a new year. And people view that as it's really a chance to start over. You get another shot at 366 days this year. It's leap year. But people get excited, and so they make up New Year's resolutions. A resolution, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to gain muscle. That's mine. I'm going to gain a degree. I'm going to get more education. People make resolutions, I'm going to clean the closet. I'm going to clean the garage out. I'm going to clean my mouth out, you know? Amen. Amen. Someone said, okay. I'm just kidding. But almost 50% of Americans make serious New Year's resolutions, according to Forbes magazine. 50% of Americans make serious New Year's resolutions. That is almost double the amount of Americans that watch the Super Bowl. That's a pretty big deal. But would you be surprised that only 8% actually reach their goal, according to this study? New Year's is a big deal. Why do you think 1 billion people watch the ball drop on Thursday night? 1 billion people globally. Something like 300 million here in just the States. It's something crazy like that. I'll have to check those numbers. But it's a big deal. Why is it a big deal? People want something new. They're tired of the old. This is a big deal. It's bigger than the Super Bowl. That's why I see this as a team rally. But you know, at the surface, there's nothing wrong with New Year's resolutions. It's a great habit to look at your day-to-day routine. How can I make it more efficient? What can I do to create a little bit more time in my day? There's definitely something to be said about improving practicality. But the only trouble with New Year's resolutions is that the large majority of them are for self-improvement only. They are dependent on the person who made the resolution. Rarely does it involve any other people or any other resources, and rarely does the New Year resolution benefit someone else. It is a self-improvement program created by self, authorized by self, and completely dependent on self. And we wonder why there's an 8% success rate. Any vow, any man-made vision, any commitment that is made that does not align with God's will for your life is like a stolen car that has a cup of gas in it. You can get away fast, but you won't go far. Any vow, any commitment in your life that does not line up with the Lord's purpose for your life will not go far. That is because man-made visions are dependent on man-made resources, which leads me to my title this morning, When You Take Life Into Your Own Hands, Why Resolutions Fail, But God's Promises Last. See, a resolution asks the questions, what can I receive this year? What can I get? What can I accumulate for myself? When a calling asks the question, what can I give? Who can I help? What can I accumulate to give someone else? A resolution says me when a calling says you. A resolution says I when a calling and a purpose says we. A resolution is what King Solomon made in Ecclesiastes 2, when I believe he made the ultimate resolution that whatever his eye saw, whatever his heart desired, he was going to give it to himself. He says it this way, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all of my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that I had done and what I had toiled to achieve for myself, it was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. See, Solomon's resolutions maybe at first might not have been bad or good, but they were definitely dependent on his own means and his own resources. And he's known as the richest man who ever walked the face of the planet. And his means and resources did not give him satisfaction or happiness. We don't have a chance. But a calling, a purpose for your life, is what gave young David the strength and the boldness to look into the face of Israel's number one and largest contender, Goliath. A purpose is what gave him the strength to look at him and say, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord. I come to you with the authority of the God of the armies of Israel. Whew, I feel the Spirit this morning. I'm going to have to stick to my notes. Hallelujah. That was 2 Samuel 17:45. A calling will always provide you with the resources that you need. You can say that so many different ways. A purpose provides you with the resources that you need. The Lord will always provide you the resources that you need if you're living by your calling, if you're living by your purpose. A resolution is dependent on what may happen in the future. February, March, April. It's dependent on what may happen. But a purpose and a calling is dependent on what has already happened in the work of Messiah Yeshua, Jesus our Messiah. It's based on his work that was completed. When he was on Calvary's crest, he said, it is finished. And when he breathed his last, he sealed the new covenant in his blood. And the veil tore to the holy place. And it enabled the Holy Spirit to give us the strength. It enabled us to accept the calling because we could not do it out of flesh. We can only do it out of His Spirit and the Holy Spirit living in our lives. The Holy Spirit will enable us and provide us the strength to operate in our work in the kingdom of God. A resolution says self when a calling and a purpose is selfless. A resolution says self, a calling says selfless. You know, there's been a battle between self and selflessness since the beginning of the world. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, Eve began down the slippery slope of sin long before she picked the fruit off of the tree. The serpent, who the Bible says was the craftiest of all creatures, looked to her and says, "You know what, Eve? There's something you don't have. There's some improvement here. God is keeping you from what you really need. And if you disobey him, then you'll actually see like God does. He's keeping something from you. And in order for you to improve this, you've got to take life into your own hands." And that is when Eve began to sin. Because for the first time, she took her eyes off of the Lord and put them on herself. First time in human history, self was the subject. And because of that, they realized that they were naked. They realized that they were without. Because all eyes on you does not compare even closely than eyes on the Lord. "You must take your life into your own hands," he told Eve. And they realized that all eyes on you is nothing in comparison of reflecting the one true God. You know, there's been many people in Scripture who grew impatient. Many people in Scripture who took life into their own hands. You can name them off. One is Abram and Sarai, as they were known at the time. God gave them a promise of a child, a promised seed that would begin a lineage too numerous to count, more than the stars in the sky, more than the specks of sand on the shore. But they grew impatient. They took matters into their own hands, and Ishmael was born. And Ishmael would start the lineage of folks that would grasp for the heel of the promised seed. You see, when Moses was on Mount Sinai, actually Suzanne shared this one with me, when Moses was on Mount Sinai and the people were down below, they grew impatient, and so they took their resources, their means. They melted it down. They put it into the image of a golden calf. They grew impatient. They took matters into their own hands. They wanted a government. They got a government, a dead gold government. They wanted a process that they could live in life without the Lord, and that it was only based on their means and resources. It would be a process that they would live by their own means. You read in Samuel that the people of Israel were impatient for a king. They demanded of the prophet Samuel that they wanted a king, and instead of relying on the prophets of God to speak truth, and rely on the Lord to lead them as a nation, which made them different than any nation on earth. They said no, and they took matters into their own hands, and they demanded a king. And if you read the story of Saul, you see that did not work out exactly perfectly. But Adam and Eve and many others in the Bible, they realized eventually that God's purposes far outweigh personal gain. Their man-made visions were nothing in comparison to what the Lord had for their lives. And we have the privilege to read their journey in the Bible. The turning point for many is that they reached a point where, number one, they surrendered to God. Number two, they took their hand off the driving wheel. And number three, they pursued his purposes for their lives. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declare the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Isaiah 55:8-9. The Lord is not displaying an ego here. He's not flexing, trying to show that he's far greater than you through that passage. He's rather teaching us trust. He's revealing a part of his nature that we can rely on him because he truly knows what is best for us. But look closely at Isaiah 55. It starts this way. "Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters." Who is he talking to in Isaiah 55 when he tells them, "My ways are higher than yours"? He's telling those who are thirsty, those who have been away from the streams of life, those who need a filling. He's talking to those who are thirsty. Is there anyone here thirsty? Are you satisfied with 2015? Regardless if you are or not, we must stay active in pursuing him in 2016. Are you thirsty? Do you have an irresistible attraction to him? He does for you. For God's love far outweighs even what we can do to love ourselves. His love for us is just that great because He is love. His dreams are far better than what you can even dream for yourself. The work of Messiah was not easy. You can read in the Gospels, it was not easy. He did not go to the execution stake for no reason. God has placed a calling and purpose on the life of every believer. Everyone under the sound of my voice this morning, you have a calling. You have a purpose in your life. You know, Jim Eady, you actually said it so eloquently, I believe it was last week during communion. You said that Yeshua's sacrifice would have been enough. His resurrection would have been enough, but He did far more than that. He intercedes on our behalf to the Father to equip us. Father, give them what they need to do my work on earth. He did not do that for void. He did that so that we could live in the purposes of our lives. He's our number one fan. He's the one behind us saying, go, go, go. He's also the one with all the team equipment. He's ready to equip us. That's the excitement that I feel in 2016, is that he's behind us right now more than ever before. Either we're paying attention, one or the other. But it's different. I sense an eagerness in my spirit. Amen. Amen. You know, God did not make bulk appliances when He made you and me. He made masterpieces, each one. A different amount of hair on each one's head. A different family He's put us in. He did not make bulk appliances. He's made masterpieces. David said, I will praise You, O Lord, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Your works, and that my soul knows very well. For I know the thoughts I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you future and a hope. Each of us has a purpose and calling in our lives. There's a reason we've been placed in our families. There's a reason why we've been placed in our circle of friends. There's a reason why we have the co-workers that we do. And there's a reason why we are in the neighborhoods that we are in. There's a reason why you're here today. And so I believe that there's a revival in our midst. But I also believe that the revival is dependent on individuals surrendering to His call on their lives. That will enable the call of this community to be realized. You know, I'm still getting over just this morning's worship time. The Lord was very powerful in that worship time. If you think back, Sue Samuels blessed us in concert in early December. Unfortunately, I had to miss that due to a work trip, but she challenged us to rededicate ourselves to the Lord at Hanukkah. Shortly after, Jason Sobel came here. And when he stood right here, he began declaring blessings over this congregation. He began declaring that the Lord has things in store for us. If you remember, and he spoke to the importance of that journey of becoming a Jacob to Israel. Then Dan Juster, two, three weeks ago, I believe, the top visionary for our global community, says he has a heart and a prayer for revival in our congregations. Do you see what the Lord is doing? Do you see what the Lord is saying? In the past 6, 7 weeks, He sent messengers to us that there's a revival coming. But I truly believe it's dependent on individuals surrendering to God. Then the call of this community, this corporate call, would be realized. If there's ever been a time to lean not on your own understanding, but on His, it's now. Not just for personal growth and edification, but for a revival in our midst. Could we just take a moment and thank God for sending His messengers? Would you thank Him that He is mindful of us? Thank You for Your plans, Lord. Thank You for the revival, to see hearts saved, to see Jewish people come to the realization of their Messiah, to see peace in the land. Thank You, Lord, for all of Your promises. You know, before we leave today, I want to challenge you to make it your New Year's resolution to seek God's face this year in a fresh way. The words today were just humbling. To sing a new and fresh praise unto the Lord. Make that your resolution. And so in the spirit of the new calendar year, I want to leave you with just three core habits. You might not ever heard them before, but they're crucial to the strength of any believer. Number one, spend time in God's Word. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There's a way that may seem right to a man, but in the end it leads to destruction. To know where you're going to be December 31st, 2016, you need a lamp to your path and a light unto your feet. You need to be able to see through eyes of faith and not by sight. Spend time in God's Word. This is your day-to-day spiritual food for spiritual growth. You know how to kill a lion? Starve him. How many are starving their spiritual soul? Spend time in God's Word. And on a practical note, there are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. It's not the smallest of books, but it's also not larger than many books we've read before, but 1,189 chapters in the Word of God, 365 days, that's about three chapters a day. Would you make it your resolution to read through the Bible in 1 year completely? Do it on top of your normal Bible reading if you have that, if you have a structure. And let me recommend the Bible app. You're able to check off as you read. It'll do it for you as you scroll down to the bottom. Whatever it is, spend time in God's Word. Number two, communicate with Him daily. Daily prayer for your family, for our community. Prayer for you personally because we all need the Lord. But it goes far beyond prayer. It's communication. Communication is much more than just prayer. It's listening in the quiet. It's listening in the loud. It's listening at work. It's listening when the day is hectic because that's when we need the Lord the most. Communicate with Him daily. And number three, be identified by your fruit through a heart of service. John 13:35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Make a tangible difference in somebody's life in 2016. And I guarantee once you do that, you'll want to do it again and again. Spend time in God's Word, communicate with Him daily, and be identified by your fruit through a heart of service. Placing your life into His hands and not your own is the best decision you could make ever. Why not make it today? He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never fail you. When you place your life into His hands, God's purposes last. Would you bow your head? Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to start anew and to start fresh each and every morning. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness of things that we committed in 2015. We repent, Lord, and we turn our ear to you to activate the calling you have on us, each and individual purpose that you've placed in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would take the no's that are in our hearts and you would replace them with yeses. Lord, we say yes to reading your word. We say yes to communicating with you. We say yes to your calling, and we say yes to your purpose. We say yes to the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of God. We say yes. Please take the no's out and replace them with yeses. We say yes to revival, and we say yes to this year. Would you just take a moment and begin to say yes to the Lord? If He's woken you up in the middle of the night with a calling, say yes. If He's put someone on your mind to bless, say yes. If He's prepared you to be a living sacrifice, say yes. Just begin to talk with the Lord. Thank you.
prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Elders, would you come? Would you stand with me?